Cheers to you, working man.
Same. Likewise. Cheers.
Hello, is Tim Parker there?
This is he.
Who's calling, please? Man, fucking don't mean to jump right into remember when, but man, remember when you just had to call your friend's whole entire home cold? And who knows who's going to pick up, a mom, a dad, and you have to ask for them? Oof, the fucking anxiety. Or when Maybe. You started dating. Oh, you had to call a girl. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nobody wants any part of that.
Maybe it was always in the cards for me to be in customer service because, like I think I would answer the phone, like, "Thank you for calling the Parkers. This is Tim." You know, something along those lines.
Very good. I would answer the. We would answer the phone. Hello.
Just sup.
Hello. Hello. Oh, the best. And then our answering machine. My mother left the message on the tape. We had an actual physical little tape. You had to... Anyway, I got to get rant real quick, okay?
Yeah. That's what this show is for.
So, I work in the public. I work... I'm not going to give specifics, but I work a retail job during the day now. I used to be overnight, but now I'm working the day. I'm on the floor with the people.
The public.
Which, for the most part, I actually really like. It was like the years between when I last did it and then the years when I was overnight. And now I'm back on the floor. And I don't know. I just, it helps that I'm not, like, when you are a cashier, that's rough. Because you are seeing everybody. And when there's money involved, you get a bunch of shit. But I'm not in that world. I'm separate from that. I'm basically, hi, how you doing? And also another thing that's happened to me recently is because, like, I'm always in the... because the way I treat customer service is the way I want to be treated, in that I'm not one of these fucking hawks that's on your ass as soon as, like, you know, you're in the store, like, trying to upsell you shit. Mm-hmm. I'm like... I smile and say hi to everybody. If I sense they need help, I'll ask. Or you know what I mean? But anyway, so I'm always walking around with a smile on my face and always giving like a almost inaudible, like, hi, how you doing? To like everybody. And now I do that all the time, even when I'm not working. So I'm just saying hi to strangers like 24 hours a day, which can be good, can be bad. I don't know. But so anyway, most of the people I deal with are great, right? This motherfucker comes in, right? Old guy, okay? Old guy. Comes up to me, and I'm putting stuff up on the shelf. Comes up, and he says, "Oh, do you guys have this?" And I was like, "Oh, I don't know." He's like, "I thought you might. This is a pretty yuppie store." And I was like, funny.
Interesting.
Okay. You know, he's making jokes, so, you know, I'm playing the game. And then he says, and mind you, he's old. No disrespect to old people, but I'm just painting a picture. So then he drops the line, "Is it okay that I call you a yuppie? Are you even allowed to say that anymore?" So then I'm like, uh-oh. I know the turn this conversation's taking. I can smell it. But I was just like, I don't think yuppies ever bothered any, like, yuppies always been fine. So then he hits me with, because this is all bullshit. He came in with this shit on his mind that he wanted to say. He's like, he's one of these guys. He's like, "Geez, these days you can't say anything without someone thinking you're racist, sexist, or anything." Now,
telling on yourself.
In our conversation that you and I are going to have, I'm going to say what I wish I could have said. But from this point on, I went stone face. Okay. Yeah. That's my only option. I flip out on this guy, I get fired, I'm fucked. I just, So I immediately stop smiling altogether, continue stocking the shelves, and don't even look at him. So he's like, he drops one of those, "You can't say anything these days." And then I just straight ahead, and he's like, "You know, back in my day, we all used to live together in the same neighborhood." Now, this is what drove me nuts, this next line, okay? He was like, "It was all of us. It was Germans, Irish, Polish, Italians. We all lived together, and there was no problem." And I just wanted to be like, okay, you just named six different types of white people. Yep. What are you talking about? And he's like, "And we used to all joke with each other, but, you know, we all loved each other." And I'm thinking, shut the fuck up. Like, I just want to be like, what do you want? What do you want me to be like? "Yeah, you can't say racist jokes anymore, and it sucks." And then he said, then he was just like, and I'm just staring straight ahead, and I can feel my face is like fucking blood red.
Boiling.
Yes. Yeah. But, and he's just like, "Yeah, well, you say, now you can't joke with anyone without being racist, sexist." And then his final line was like, "I can't say anything like, if you say something like, 'I think all Chinese women are pretty,' you're sexist, racist." And I was like, "You're all Chinese women are pretty." Like, he thinks in his head, like, what I said was a blanket racial statement, but it was positive because I was sexualizing all Chinese women that I think they're sexually attractive, which is a compliment. If a white, fat, old white piece of shit wants to fucking jack off to a picture of you, you should be honored. And then I was just fucking just like staring straight ahead. And then he finally was just like, "Oh, geez, I just, you know, I like to rant sometimes." And then I just, nothing. I didn't give him anything. It didn't give him a nod. Didn't give him a noise. And then he left. But it's just like the fucking all kinds of different races live together. Germans, Irish, Polish. Do you know what? Just fuck you, man. I respect old people and I don't want to physically harm them, most of them, but I just wanted to push this guy over and shatter his hips. Dumb motherfucker.
I mean, you've been in customer service for a while and, you know, so was I.
Yeah, you were a bartender. I'm sure you got this shit constantly.
I just got very good at either deflecting, or I would never compromise my own beliefs and mm-hmm. ideologies to just like go along with a really racist or sexist joke.
Yeah.
But there were times that I would just like placate someone. I'd be like in that scenario, I would have been like, "Yeah, sounds like you guys got along in the neighborhood." You know? Just left it at that. And like, and yeah. that probably would have made him happy enough to yeah. stop talking. Cause it's like, It's almost like you have to treat them like children. Like,
yeah.
You think if you ignore them, they'll just go away. No, they're there for, like you said, this guy came in just looking for someone to listen to his bullshit, and you happen to be the target. You know, as the bartender, you're stuck back there. You have to listen to this bullshit. So you just very quickly on the fly start to come up with ways to escape these conversations or give them just enough. Just give them an inch yeah. to make them happy to shut the fuck up. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, there was plenty of times, too, that I had to, like, just flat out tell someone, like, "Yeah, that's pretty shitty. You shouldn't say that." <You know? laughs> But most of the time, I was able to, like, wiggle my way out of those types of confrontations.
Yeah, which sucks that you have to do, but that's fucking life, I guess.
Yeah, I'll never forget there was always this group of guys that were there at, like, 11 a.m. on the dot. That's when we opened.
Were their hands shaking?
No, they weren't even that big of drinkers. Like, they would have – one guy didn't even drink. He would just have a Coke. One guy would have two beers in the, like, 2 hours he'd sit there.
Yeah.
So they didn't really drink much, but they were the guys that demanded, like, Fox News be on television.
Oh, and, God.
But they used to bullshit with me about sports and some other things, and that was, like, our, you know, happy meeting
point. Yeah.
But every once in a while, like, the lines would blend. Like, I'll never forget when Rocket Man was in theater.
Okay.
And and I like raved about it. I was like, man, that was so fucking cool. Taron Egerton like sang all the actual music, and you know, I just loved it. And like some of those guys did go and see it, and like they liked it, they did. But one in particular was like, I don't know, got a little too like basically saying too gay for
yes.
him. Because I mean, there's some flat out like not sex scenes, but there's definitely some man on man action in that movie, and like, you know, I that's what he was getting at.
Well, he didn't drop the F slur, did he?
No, he never
good
did.
Good for him. Yeah, you know, right. That's a win for people like that.
I think they knew their audience in that building, though. Like, I think they knew they were the outliers, and especially with the staff.
No,
they knew that we were not on the same page when it comes to certain things like that, like cultural issues. But yeah, like, they were the type of guys that'd be like, you know, they would say how hot Trump's fucking press secretary was, what her name, Kylie McElhaney or whatever, and they just talk about that. And like, and then they'd like compare her to Jen Psaki and how she's not as hot. God. It's like, is this what you guys come here to talk about?
You guys are fucking disgusting animals. Like, no, I mean,
sorry, I didn't mean to totally get us off track.
But. No, I started this train on the tracks with this fucker up my ass about all the Irish and Polish people that got along. But I worked at a bar in Marcus Hook.
Nice.
I had to swallow my tongue a lot of times because people down there would say awful shit regularly, and it's like, I mean, what can I accomplish with this dude with three teeth, you know what I mean, who drinks 10 hours a day? Am I really going to change his mind? And in 2024, like, I'm shocked to find, like, there's still all the time cable news watchers, like, no matter, I'm not one of these both sides are bad, equally as bad, because it's clearly untrue. One side's much worse. But if you got fucking cable news on in your house, like, what are you doing to yourself? Like, Tammy's family has a beach house, right? Nice. Down in the Delaware Resort beaches. It's a beautiful, it's in a trailer park. It's great. But trailer park not uses a bad term. Like, it's like they call it a campground, whatever. But we're walking around one night and we're at the beach. We're at people's vacation home, people's escape, right? And we're walking around, pushing Sal around in the stroller, and we walk by this super nice trailer built on porch, very nice. And I could see in their window, and they got fucking CNN just blasting. I'm like, you're down here. You could walk seven steps over and touch the bay. You could sit outside on your porch and see all the stars and fucking hear the water and smell the fucking bay air. And you're sitting in your goddamn living room watching CNN. Like,
you're doing it wrong.
You don't need to do that. You're not missing anything. You're just making yourself miserable all the time. It's just,
especially in that setting, like you said, like, my parents had a beach house for a big part of my lifetime. And all the time I would just sit out on the deck and just like watch traffic, or we had an upper deck where you could actually see a little bit of the ocean, just kind of stand there and stare at the ocean. Yeah. Like, you know, just get away, be alone with your thoughts. I'm comfortable with that, but I guess I'm realizing more and more that people aren't comfortable with that. I think also when it comes to what you're talking about with cable news, like, I not even specifically cable news, I think it's just like an older person's thing, like our age and up, to just they constantly have the TV on, even if it's just background noise. And I've never been that person. Like when I sit down on my couch, I'm like appointment television. It's like the Sixers game, or I'm sitting down to watch a movie.
Oh right, yeah.
I'm not. I don't have it on in the background while I'm like vacuuming or something. Like that's just not something I've ever done. But cats like that. My parents are like that. They just the TV's just always on. And I don't know.
I definitely used to be like that a lot more. Like especially when ESPN was awesome. I would just, you know, I would just have fucking SportsCenter on all day. Yeah, I used to totally be like that. I'd be like about to do chores, but first I would spend like 5 to 10 minutes flipping through the channels until I found the perfect thing to have on and then walk away from the TV. Like I'm not even, like I need to have something on while I clean the kitchen in the other room.
Nowadays it would be like reruns of Parks and Rec or The Office, something along those lines.
Yeah, anything like comforting in a way that I like, but it's not going to draw me like it. Like it's not like you have to have seen it before, so you don't really need to watch it, but you like hearing it. But that's all replaced now with basically podcasts, like with the iPhone, and I have the wireless earbuds, so not to brag, okay?
But yeah, I guess back to your point with the having CNN on television, like I think it is an older thing too, to like that's how people consume their news, and like that's how they get their information. And I'm not saying it's a bad way or the best way. It's probably
bad,
more the bad way. Yes. There's just like much easier, more accessible ways to get your information that you don't have to plop on a couch and just mindlessly stare at the screen for
that is
however
like
long,
constantly flashing red at the bottom, like every fucking thing is like breaking news or you're going to die, and then we'll break this up with commercials for medicine, which is insane. Like we're the only country in the fucking world besides like New Zealand that has commercials for medicine. Other countries know that that's insane and illegal. Like
a commercial for like lawsuits against asbestos.
Yes. Yeah. And commercials suing fucking medicine manufacturers who fucking sold you bad medicine 2 years ago. Unbelievable. But yeah, so read the fucking newspaper in the morning, put it down, don't think about news till tomorrow. Let's get back to that.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of what I always say about what I love about going up to the Adirondacks for our vacation, man. Mm-hmm. It's just like you are forced to unplug. For me, it's not that difficult to unplug.
How is it for Kat?
She's able to do it too. She's like... when we're here, she's more addicted to a screen, I think.
Yeah.
But when we go up there, it's like she realizes,
shifts.
Oh, right.
She
I
changes
love reading.
Modes. Yeah.
And she like plows through a bunch of books. You know, she's always been a photographer, you know, so she kind of rediscovers her camera.
It's tough. It. I'm working very hard to turn the volume down because the volume on everything is so loud. There's constant noise from everything now. And I just want many days this summer where most of the sound that Sal and I and Tammy hear is like wind. You know what I mean?
More,
like
more natural
just
sounds.
The ambient noise of our neighborhood in the summer. And then at 8:30 p.m. maybe, when you're a little sticky because you had you're not actively sweating, but you're...
It's kind of humid outside,
You walk inside, the AC hits you, and you're like, damn, that feels good. That's like 8:30, let's eat some pizza, now let's watch TV, and then, maybe I'll check my phone once a day. That's like kind of where I'm trying to steer my ship. It's very difficult. Everything, if you live in modern society, is ripping you away from that and trying to get you looking at your phone all the time because that's how they make money. I recently listened to this really good book called Stolen Focus about a lot of that and about the fight that we're all in. And So, you know, try to implement some of those lessons into my life. Especially, I have this little guy that looks to me to know how to act. So before he's fully clicked into the matrix, because he may not remember this time in his life, but he's aware. You know what I mean? He sees what we do, and he's
absorbing.
Exactly. So I'm definitely trying to, especially by the time like we're able to talk to him and stuff, and he's more able to grasp things. Like, let's get into a groove where, you know, our life here, because we can't control it when it's outside the our zone, but we're going to get our zone locked in, tightened up, and calm and quiet. And act like you said, when we go to watch TV or something, it's an active choice. It's like, hey, let's sit down as a family and watch this instead of, hey, let's have noise at all times because we can't sit in silence and think. The thought of a silent reflection makes me panic.
Kat's sister and husband, they're the ones that live just like three blocks from us. And they have a 5 and 7 year old. This Christmas, they got, really for the 5 year old boy, a Switch.
Nice.
But Maddie, the 7 year old, she uses it sometimes too. And this is like their first really any video game system at all. They don't have a PlayStation or an Xbox or anything.
Yeah.
Lauren is very like anti screen. She barely watches TV. She tries to keep the kids off of TV, off her phone. So getting this Switch was like a big deal for her. Ray, on the other hand, has been like, well, I mean, they're kids. Like, they're all of their friends have all of these friggin' screens. So, like, they're kind of keeping up with the Joneses, but this is just like a little bit of like throwing them a bone.
Yeah.
But like recently we've seen them like the past like 3 weeks. There's just been, it was like Kat's dad's birthday. Or Easter. We saw him Easter. And so it's like when we're at these like events with a decent amount of family, Ray's like, let them go nuts on the Switch because it occupies them.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to entertain them. And then we can have adult conversation with the adults that are here.
Yeah.
But like outside of those scenarios, he's like, I get it. Like, let's keep them off the screens as much as we can.
Yeah.
But like, even in those like family settings, Lauren's like fighting with the kids, like get them off the screens. And Ray keeps saying like, no, this is what it's for. It's fine. You know, like, let him do it.
Yeah. That's tough. Yeah. I see both sides of that so clearly. Yeah. Oh, man. That's why. Are they so in these scenarios, are they like the only two kids? Is it just like, are there more kids running around? Right. No. So that's even tougher. Because I was going to say, have the Switch on a TV with like all the kids in the same room. But if it's just two kids, it's two kids that are always with each other. Yeah. It's not like seeing your cousin who you never see. So you get roughhouse and stuff, but it's tough. Cause it is like, cause they don't have like five cousins to occupy them.
No.
So, and you want to talk to the other adults
around outside.
Yeah, absolutely not. That's tough. But that's the fight we're all in.
And to your other point, like, so my brother's daughter, my niece, Taylor, she just turned 4, and they're kind of entering that realm where it was just their little tight-knit geofence nucleus of a universe, especially being a COVID baby where it was just like mom, dad, Taylor, and then like sometimes grandparents, and that's it.
Yeah.
And now that she's 4 and she's like going to school and she's getting out of the house and she's getting introduced to like other kids and their dumb shit that they do.
Yeah.
It's like, all these like influences are coming in. How do we control this? Or how do we like let her know that like, well, that's maybe what Brian does, but that's not what you do.
Yeah, you know, that's stuff I think about a lot. It's like once once my guy,
not to freak you out.
No, no, dude. It's like, and hey, how do you tell a kid like, yeah, your friend Derek is an asshole.
Exactly.
You don't want to act like him, and his parents are trash. You can't tell a kid that. That's first right. of all, he'll probably tell Derek's parents that they're trash. But
they're young and impressionable. Mm-hmm. They'll say anything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tough. It's tough. But hey, that's I do love it.
So I actually wrote down one rant I wanted to give you.
Let's hear it.
So yeah, it's April. We moved into this house last May. So it's almost been a year. And I think I've given you updates on, like, you know, the town and, like, just other stuff that's even happened in the house. And one thing that I've taken a big notice recently is Philadelphia drivers. They truly are a different breed because, like, I mean, double parking, for one, is just, like, you're just going to see it everywhere. Yes. And it's going to piss you the hell off.
Yeah.
The other one I've been seeing a lot, it's, like, for instance, like a block away is Germantown Avenue or Germantown Pike. And it's like, you know, one lane goes southeast towards Philly. The other lane goes northwest out of Philly. And people will just pull U-turns right in the middle of it. But like, it's just a two-lane road. So you can't in one fell swoop pull a U-turn. So you like have to jackass back and forth. And you're just blocking traffic because you missed your turn. It's like, just go to the next block and turn around. Like, it's not like you're on some country road where, like, you know, it's going to be another mile before you see the next fucking street. It's just so ridiculous.
Oh man, I fucking hate driving in the city so much.
The last one I've noticed is, once again, it'll be just a single lane road and you're at a stoplight. And to your right is essentially like, it's not a shoulder, it's actually like parking. Like there's a lot of off-street parking. But if there's space next to you on the right, people will pull up on your right, and then when the light turns green, they slam on the gas to get one car length ahead of you. To get, you know, that much closer to where they're going. Like, what kind of fucking bullshit move is that?
Like, you're a fucking psycho, dude.
Yeah.
I hate it, man. I hate, like, I can't, I want to murder people that tailgate me. I don't know about you.
Oh, yeah.
But
it's like, where do you want me to go? Like, yeah. I can't go any faster. Like,
you want me to go 55 on a 35, right? You know, and there's a car in front of me. What are you trying to do?
What are you, like, trying to accomplish?
You're trying to use your force to make me make the car in front of me go faster. You're a fucking psycho. And I wish I had a fucking oil slick I could drop out of my car and make you spin out and crash and die.
Like the video game Spy Hunter.
Yes, exactly. Or if I had a chain on, like, Road Rash.
I learned when I was, like, a new driver that if you hit someone in their rear, it's, like, 95% of the time going to be your fault.
Oh,
so don't tailgate.
Yeah.
Don't increase that opportunity. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Like, and also, where I live, especially, it drives me absolutely fucking nuts because I drive to work at like 4:30 in the morning. So it's pitch black out and there's fucking deer everywhere.
Yep.
And it's like, you're fucking riding my ass. First of all, it's dark. I don't know if you're a cop.
Nope.
And I don't know if I'm going to pass a cop, but you want me to fucking haul ass? A lot of times, I just fucking pull over on the shoulder and let people pass me at this point because it just fucking pisses me off and fills me with anxiety. Oh, it's just, oh man. On Instagram, this is driving related, but there's something that people do on the highway called, it's sometimes called swimming or called cutting up. Do you know what this is?
No.
So on, it's psychos on like a busy fucking highway where there's a ton of cars around. They're the people that drive super fucking fast and like change, like fucking weave in and out of all the cars and like basically go in between cars and stuff on the white lines.
Oh my God.
That's like a thing that young people think is cool. That is absolutely insane. And those people should be eliminated from Earth because they're going to they're going to kill innocent people with kids and shit just like trying to be fucking cool. Like, don't fuck around on the highway in your car, you fucking psychos.
I sometimes get those like out of body experiences where I'm like, man, I'm cruising on this highway at like 76. It's just like weird, right? If I clip anything, I might die.
Dude, I was driving my dad's car the other day, which is a Mercedes, right? Oh, and I was just, and it's like a very nice car. So I'm, and first of all, have you been on the Pennsylvania Turnpike recently?
Yeah, actually, for the Super Bowl, I went all the way out to Reading. To hang out with Kat's friend and. So, yeah, I was on the turnpike.
So you saw those signs that said speed limit 70?
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I was going. That's why I specifically said 76. I was like, this is a good speed, right? And man, people were like flying past me.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I look down and I'm like, because it's a nice car. It's quiet. It's a smooth ride. I'm doing like 85, almost 90. And it feels like I'm, because everyone else is doing. Gliding. Yeah. I'm just like, oh, man. If I have to stop suddenly, I'm not gonna. I'm gonna die. Yeah, cars are scary, which makes you almost want self-driving cars, but the guy leading the effort to get those off the ground sucks. And also,
kind of a dick.
Yeah, and it's also very scary. I don't want to be on the bleeding edge of that. I don't want to fucking robot car responsible for my death. I'd rather be responsible for my own. Okay.
So yeah, that's my little rant. That's all I had for you.
Sucks, dude. But is it easy for you to take public transportation? Like, are you close to any stops or anything? Like, could you walk out of your house and get on a bus or a trolley or a train?
Yeah. So all of those things. There's no trolley, but there's a bus right on Germantown.
Yeah.
And it eventually intersects with like Broad. So then I could like hop off the bus, take maybe the Broad Street line.
Mm.
I've yet to do it. But yeah.
In theory, you could.
Yeah. I'm also like so close to like things I want to go to in the city that an Uber ride is not that bad either.
Mm.
So yeah. But those options are available.
That's cool. You should bus to the subway. That then you should tell me how it went.
Yeah, for sure. I haven't been on a bus in a while, but I used to.
I've never been on a SEPTA bus, and I'm scared to, not because of like the people on the bus or anything, because I don't know what to do when you get on. I don't know about, like, do you give the driver money or what, you know what I mean? Like, that initial thing fills me with dread. That's the millennial in me.
Yeah, it's like the logistics of the planning of the trip.
I need tokens? Do I need a card?
You need a card nowadays.
Okay.
Tokens have been, I'm pretty sure, completely eliminated. It's called like the SEPTA key card, and it's actually pretty easy. I can't remember if you can. I think I actually had to go to a kiosk to get the actual card, but then loading money onto it is super easy. It's all online.
Okay.
I mean, I think the last time I did it, I was like en route, like on a regional rail, and I'm on my phone just like loading money onto the thing so I could take the Broad Street, you know, down to the Wachovia or whatever, the Wells Fargo.
Yeah. The Core States Center.
Yeah, the Core States Center.
Yeah. Oh, regional rail. I'd take the R2 from Marcus Hook to Suburban Station. And get off and do suburban kid shit in the city. And there'd be the guy with the, I missed the, he had like the ticket with the little puncher.
Yep.
Here you go. Give him some money or something. La-ti-da. I like the train though. We took the Amtrak. Tammy and I took the Amtrak from Wilmington up to New York City. And that was stressful.
Last time I went to New York, Kat and I went with my parents, and that's what we did. We went down to Wilmington and took the Amtrak up. It was actually pretty easy for us. But yeah, it was stressful for you.
It was just stressful because the train was absolutely packed. And in my head, we would get on the train and find two seats next to each other and sit down and ride the train up. Or there would be fucking assigned seats or something, which I guess isn't logistically possible or something. But the train was fucking absolutely packed, so we had to like kind of sit away from each other until some people cleared out. Then we jumped into the same seats. Mm. But once we got into that position, it was fine. Except there was a goddamn woman. I mean, we weren't in the quiet car or anything, but this lady behind us was like on a work phone call, and I could tell that she was a very annoying person to work with. That just kept the conversation going just because she liked being on a work call. Like, it was like sucked. I was like, I feel bad for whoever's on the other end of the phone, and I feel bad for me and everyone that has to listen to this fucking phone call. I don't want to, if anyone I work with is watching, I don't want to throw anyone under the bus, but Timmy, let me get your thoughts on this. You work in a place and there's a break room, one shared break room, right? Mm-hmm. It's got the microwave in there. There's a TV in there.
Fridge.
What if you have a personal call to make on your cell phone, and there's other people in the break room, are you going to take that call in there, or are you going to step outside and take the call?
The latter. Like, I mean, I probably wouldn't even answer the call. I would just walk out.
Yeah.
I might even walk out of the building altogether.
Yeah.
And then call the person back. Yeah. I would never take it in front of people.
You're a normal man. That's why. Yes.
I don't even, like, you wouldn't do that. I mean, aside from the work setting, like, if you're out to, like, having beers with friends, you don't just like, oh, I got to take this, and you're
hello,
like,
yeah,
in front of like five people, like, no, you even then you might answer it in front of them, but then walk away. Like, it just, that's so weird.
Yeah, it's a bit like, okay, there's four or five of us sitting in here, we get a fucking half an hour off, right? Mm-hmm. We're just sitting, shoveling food into our mouths, you know, whatever's on the TV doesn't matter, we're fucking scrolling our phones, reading a book, whatever. You can't fucking be talking on your phone in there. It's like you're being rude. It's rude. You know what I mean? It's like you're not talking to anyone in here, but you're fucking breaking the silence of the room with your full voice talking to someone else about shit that doesn't have anything to do with anyone in here. The person you're talking to probably doesn't know that, you know, the other side of their conversation is, it's just so rude, but I guess people just don't see that as rude, just think it's fine.
Well, did they now, take it one step further? Were they on speakerphone?
That's the next thing. There's people that will, now this has never happened in the break room where I work while I've been there, but in society, I see it all the time.
All the time.
People are just full on speakerphone walking around in public, in a store. Like, just the other person's just like.
Do not get it.
That is so incredibly rude. Why do people think that that's okay? And now people are just, will just sit in a shared space or just be walking around and just watching fucking TikTok videos full fucking volume without headphones on. Like, do you not understand how fucking grating that is to be hearing that shit?
I still really like to go grab a bite to eat by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's like the TGI Fridays that's nearby or my like local, like, pub, basically, yeah. that has like really good wings.
Yeah.
I'd say I maybe go out like once a week, you know,
mm-hmm.
but it never fails. There's someone in there that is doing, they're like, they're watching some video on Twitter or a TikTok and they don't have earbuds. And I've always been this close to being like, man, looks like you need to get some earbuds for Christmas, bro.
Yeah.
Like that. Just like some like snide comment like that. But I'm like, I don't want to stir the pot, but God damn it. You're being so stupid right now. It's infuriating. I don't want to hear, you know, your fucking 2-minute clip of Joe Rogan over there. Like,
not even if it's something like, it's like, dude, I so badly wish I was just one of those psychos that would just say whatever they wanted to whoever they wanted. Once in my life, I'll do it and just be like, hey, nobody here. And there's 10 of us in this restaurant eating. Nobody wants to hear that. But yeah,
even
guess
if it's
what?
Like Stephen A. Smith or something.
Just because it's your phone and it's right in front of you, you think everyone else can't hear it?
Yeah.
Because it's small? You're so dumb. You piss me off. It's infuriating how I mean I'm guilty of this, but it's just like I know I've talked to people and just pull my phone out and look at it, and like I'm still listening, but it's I know it's incredibly rude, but it's just like just phones. And I hate to be the fucking phone grandpa, but it's just like phones have broken us. Like they've completely destroyed all semblance of fucking society working together. Everyone is just a selfish prick now, not paying attention and not paying attention to their physical space because they're staring at their phone and they'll walk right into you. Not paying attention to the fucking vibe of the room. And just breaking it with either their fucking videos or talking on their phone. It just sucks. I understand the dude in Falling Down.
I mean, you're right. And I think they are the majority, but maybe people like us that are the minority that recognize these faux pas and these things being rude, that when we're in social settings, we go out of our way to not even look at our phone.
Yeah.
You know, so that. That goes a long way, and people like might not consciously notice it, but they must subconsciously notice it because like then they value your friendship.
Mm.
Like, that person genuinely likes me and is listening to me and giving valid responses.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so I hear you, but then again, for me, I'm like, well, I'm cognizant of that, and I'm not that person, and I know I'm better for it.
True. Yes. Yes. Fully. Yes. We're doing our part. We're acting right. Even it's just, you know, sometimes it feels like such a losing battle, but
yeah.
You got to keep fighting. You can't give up. You can't.
Cat does it to me.
Like,
we'll be watching. And it might not be something she's totally invested in, but then the next thing you know, she's on her phone and I'm like, can you not?
Yeah. We're watching my 8th grade graduation video. Pay attention.
What do you mean you don't want to watch the second preseason Eagles game? where all the guys aren't going to make the team.
There's a fucking roster battle for the fucking backup linebacker. You're not fully invested in this? You don't respect me.
This guy was undrafted out of Eastern Middle Tennessee State.
I think he really has potential to add to the special teams. Okay.
Cool
you
story,
got it,
bro.
Boss.
Shut up. Let me watch my goddamn Instagram.
Right. And I mean, have headphones on. It's fine. You know what I mean? Just fucking.
They're a dime a dozen nowadays. Like everyone has some form of a, you don't have to buy the, you know, the $250 AirPods or however much they are these days, or like the Bose or the mm-hmm. Beats. They're all ridiculously priced. You can find really, really nice, like, $80 to $100 earbuds, and
yeah.
they do all the same things.
Yeah, absolutely. Or you could just get, I mean, Apple regular fucking corded headphones now. These ones,
true.
These are $20 now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like there's no fucking excuse, people.
There's no excuse.
Guess what? You left your headphones at home. You don't get to listen to TikTok at full volume today. Okay. fucking watch it on mute. Save them and watch them later. We're in a fucking shared space.
Said bar by myself, and like, I'll get bored, and yeah, I'm scrolling Twitter, I'm like going through Discord or something, and yeah, I might come across a video that I'm like, ooh, I really want to listen to this, and I put in my earbuds and I listen.
Yes.
If I don't have my earbuds, I do not listen.
No.
That's all there is to it.
Or if you fucking have to, put the volume all the way down but one notch and hold it up to your fucking ear.
Boom.
Easy. God,
personal space is like just completely shattered.
Shattered. Absolutely shattered. And it's like not physical space either, because I think isn't Gen Z like asexual? Like they're fucking, they hate sex scenes in movies and stuff.
I have heard this.
Which
yes, you're right. I think also the more I think about it, it is kind of strange because it's like it's all fake, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I need to see the like nakedness to truly buy whether or not a couple is like into one another.
Right, but also like, it's because shit'll go around like. Like it'll be like, hey, everyone, what's the most unnecessary sex scene in a movie? It's like, what is this conversation? And then I don't know if these are real people or whatever, but then there's people like, it's basically the director performing sexual assault on me because I did not consent to see this sex scene.
Oh, I haven't seen these conversations.
It's like shit like that. I don't know if that's exactly what it was, but it's like shit in this realm of like people that are too online and are like mistaking like real life problems and then trying to make them about their fucking idiot online life, like, you know, like real issues of consent in the world with real people. But it's like, I'm just a boring white person online. How can I make this about me? Oh, I'll say that watching sex scenes without my permission violates me in some way, so I could feel like a victim.
This is some extension of rape, yes, in a way.
Yes,
yeah.
It's like, and it's just like fucking idiots. It's like, you know why sex scenes are in movies? Because they are. Shut the fuck up.
People dig them. I mean,
dude. I mean, there's like, I mean, there. I don't know where the future is going in turn, but it's like our lives. You and I. And I'll speak about me. You're a couple years older than me. We're like a micro generation apart. We talk about this all the time. But so I was born into a world where the pornography was magazines, yeah, or videotapes, right? That was like,
yeah, like you had that one friend who like got his hands on his dad's porno tape.
Yeah. Or you found your dad's Playboys or something.
Yep.
And then you hit the bonus and found either your dad or your brother's porno tape and saw hardcore sex and were like, actually, honestly, kind of scared. Like, what the fuck? Like,
whoa.
I skipped some levels here. I leveled up too far. Like, I'm in Borderlands, and I went to an area of the map where I was not strong enough to be, but and now I got my ass kicked. But
yeah, I mean, even going from like Skinamax to hardcore, yeah, is like a huge jump.
Yes, yes, yes. And also, we're of the era, the last era of people that you could put your TV on, in my case, was Channel 95, which if you had the premium cable box, 95 was where you would buy the Spice Channel movies. But if you just had a regular TV without a box, you could scroll up to Channel 95 and see scrambled porn.
Yeah.
So, and like sometimes you would like kind of see a tit or an ass or kind of see like, oh, it was just clear for a minute. Like, you know what I mean?
And I thought that was a boob. Nope, it was actually an elbow.
That was just a man's pec. And then it would be like, you'd get these scenarios in your head. Like, kids are liars. So someone would be like, dude, I swear to God, if you have it on for an hour, it after an hour, it goes perfectly clear. Like, dumb shit like that, you know what I mean? Or idiot.
Like, I think one of my friends was like, if you put tinfoil on the actual cable cord...
Like, dude, it comes in okay. So much clearer. But anyway, all that to say, and then came the tidal wave that came with widely available high-speed internet. Because at first, the internet was, like, slow as shit. But then once, like, everyone had high-speed internet, and then it was just, like, a massive tsunami of porn was just, like, fucking flooding your house, wrecking your fucking family computer with viruses, and then just, like, inundating you with the most fucked up shit you could possibly imagine at all times. At the and then like, oh, you get your own laptop, I'm gonna use this for school, wink, I'll be in my room for the rest of my life ripping my dick off. And it's just but I'm thankful for the world I grew up in where it wasn't like that. People born now are born into it. So it's like, what is, as they get older, their relationship with it like? And I think we might be starting to see it. It's like, these people are like, listen, if I want to see sex, I'm going to watch porn. Okay. That's a separate thing that I do over here. This is a movie. I don't need to see that because I could just, at the same time I'm watching this movie, look at Pornhub on my phone. It's like, you don't like the, the, like the thrill and the titillation of, super hot sex scenes in rated R fucking movies and stuff is like lost on people that since they were born into this earth could instantly see 1 million assholes on the internet, literally. You know what I mean? So I think all of that is just like a product of that in some way. Like,
and yeah, like, that's a good point.
Like, it's like, what will, I'm just, you know, we're all along for the ride. So we're going to see what comes of it. Because I mean, in terms of sex in modern movies, it's not, I mean, when was the last, like, a movie like, what's it called, Basic Instinct, or like a fucking, that's so weird, I just looked and Basic Instinct's right here on the shelf, but like an adult, rated R sexual thriller, you know what I mean? It's like, those used to come out all the time. Mm. It's like, do those still exist in modern movies? Excuse me.
Well, it wasn't a sexual thriller, but I mean, Poor Things. Like, I heard.
Oh yeah, I haven't seen it yet. I still haven't seen it.
One podcast essentially described it as horny Barbie. It's like a fish out of water that has a lot of sex, and it's like full frontal,
yes,
both male and female, like a lot of sex.
La, la,
but it's
la, la,
more
la, la.
In a comedic fashion, and
let me ask this: is that more in like an A24 section of?
Yes.
Modern movies, not yes. like a fucking full marquee, like, this movie's out, these people are fucking and killing each other, you know what I mean? Like Michael Douglas starring in Fuck a Lady at Your Office and then Get Your Life Ruined by it.
I guess like when a movie star got naked, it was not only exciting for us because it was like a naked woman,
yeah,
and we don't see that anywhere else. Nah. When we were younger,
it's impossible, but that'll never happen for me, you know what I mean?
Right. But it was also like this mega celebrity, this mega movie star showing off her naked body, and it was like, this is amazing, this, you know. And I'm not saying nowadays with the accessibility of porn that like you can find naked pictures of all these celebrities, but they are out there
for sure.
But still, like it was like, I don't know, there was a mystique around the like movie star sex scene.
100%, because you couldn't there was no, you had to see the movie to see it. Now you could just fucking, the day after it's released, look up screen caps of it, you know, or whatever, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, dude, like, dude, this is not a movie by any means. But when it came out, did you see the Pam and Tommy Lee sex tape?
No. At that point, like, the internet was good enough that you could find that shit.
I couldn't.
Because I remember seeing clips of it.
Not in my house. In my house, I grew up with my brothers 10 years older than me and my dad. And in two separate... I don't want to put anyone's shit out there, but in two separate hiding places in my house, there were two dubbed or, I don't know, you know, copied VHS versions of the Pam and Tommy Lee sex tape, which at the time was insane. Like, oh my God. You're telling me I get to watch Pamela Anderson have sex.
Right.
And then you put on the Pam and Tommy Lee sex tape. And it sucks. It's terrible. Most of it, because it's just, they don't edit it. It wasn't edited. It was, it's just
them hanging out.
Like, mostly just their fucking honeymoon or whatever. Yeah. That you shouldn't be seeing. It's embarrassing for us to be seeing fucking Tommy Lee tuck his dick in. You know, stand like the dude from Silence of the Lambs with his dick tucked in. And Pam Landers would be like, no, I hate seeing that. Stop doing it. That stuck in my... I haven't watched it in 20 fucking years, but it sticks with you.
But yeah, the mangina kind of stance. Yeah.
Buffalo Bill style.
Right.
But then it's like... And then you see... Then they you see like her boobs on a fucking... I mean, she was in Playboy. But you see her boobs on a fucking shaky handheld camera. And then they have sex. And it's like, there's, it's like, but at the time it was the most insane shit you could ever even possibly imagine. Like two celebrities having sex and you can watch it. But now it's like, it's, and at the time, I didn't realize how dirty it was. That was stolen from their house and shit.
So did you watch that Hulu show about it?
No. I hear it's...
It really does a great job of encapsulating all you're talking about.
Oh, really?
The hoopla around it. Like, I mean, it was such a big news story. It was like, you know, on the level of like O.J. Simpson's car chase.
Yeah, for real. It was. It was like a cultural phenomenon.
Yeah.
This dude fucking punking the boat horn with his giant hog. And be like, honey, you look so beautiful. You're so beautiful. Oh, my God. You look so beautiful. I'm steering the boat. It's like, it's so and he's like, I love you, Tommy. Oh, my God. You're so cool. Like, just terrible shit. But it's like now we live in the era where it's like fucking awful shit happens where shit's stolen off people's phones and stuff and put on the internet. And it's like so violating. But it's like the allure of naked celebrity, like all that shit is just worn down.
or there's even just like regular sex workers, you know, like OnlyFans type people, that there'll be other people that steal their photos and videos and then impersonate them to make money off of their shit. Like, it's just been this, like you said, this explosion of insanity of porn.
Yes. It's so dirty. It's so crazy. One thing about the turn from that we're like currently in of the OnlyFans world is that, I mean, there is, I mean, basically everyone over a certain level has to fucking constantly have all their stolen shit taken down off the internet. Right.
Yeah.
But it's like it's like taking a turn. It seems like into people paying for their pornography, which is encouraging, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just endless tube sites that is just all stolen work. And it's like these young women are, you know, putting themselves in these around all these predatory men who I'm pretty sure are probably making most of the money, or they don't even care about money and they just want to have sex with young girls. You know, it's all very dirty. Whereas, like, it seems like the OF world is more like, at least people are giving their money to the girls. Like, the girls are the ones in charge and are, like, setting up the boundaries and all that, which is a positive, right? But also, you know, I don't know. Who knows where we're going?
It's, I agree. I'm like, I can only, like, give a little round of applause for anyone that's willing to do that and make money off of it. Good for you, you know? But, like, it is also opening a door to some creeps out there that think that they can then, like, try to, like, insert themselves in these people's lives and, like, literally try to date them.
Very scary. Very scary. Yeah, yes, yeah.
You know, and that sucks.
Yeah. There's a – someone – you guys have to go watch this because I'm going to butcher the story. But there's a YouTube essayist called Wavy Web Surf who digs into and explains, like, stories from the internet. And there's this guy in Florida, right, who became obsessed with a Romanian or something woman on My Free Cams, a cam girl, you know, a girl working, doing her job. This dude became obsessed with her, spent literally every penny he had, and then started stealing from his brother, started stealing from his dad, like spent like tens of thousands of dollars of his dad's money on this cam girl, right? And then, you know, got caught, got kicked out. Went to his aunt's house, started doing it again. You know, just could not stop stealing money. Went to rehab, right? Came back to his parents' house, caught again. And then they were like, that's it, you're done. So he fucking, spoiler alert, go watch the video, but he fucking killed his whole family.
God.
He fucking got cut off one last time and then fucking shot his mom, his dad, and his brother and tried to fucking stage it as a murder-suicide on the part of his brother. And now he's in jail for life. But it's like, it's you're inviting, like, that element is always there. I mean, that element is there for any woman on the internet, even if you're just a Twitter girl that makes jokes, right? You know what I mean? Like, even like, or
even just like a girl who's a professional comedian.
Yes, exactly. Like it's always there. Or even a girl that walks by you at Walmart and smiles at you because you make eye contact and then gets followed through Walmart. You know what I mean? It's always there, but it's like when you enter the sex work world, it's I'm sure it heightens because people feel like they saw your boobs, so they own you in some way. It's very fucked up. Well, this was a fun episode.
Definitely took a weird, like, so you had my mind racing because, like, even aside from sex work, you know, I don't know. I think about that shit a lot. I'm not saying I'm on the verge of losing my mind, but sometimes I'm like, I try to put myself in those people's shoes and just like, how do you end up down that path and like with no way out? And you like, you in your brain have said like, this is the best course of action. I'm going to steal from my dad. Now he's cut me off and kicked me out. Right. I'm going to continue to do it to my aunt, like, and like there was a thought process, like he kept saying like, yes, this is the answer, this is like, I don't know, like I just
like, yeah, like what's his, like he like, this is a cam girl, this is, she's doing her job, she's at work when she's talking to you, she's not in her personal life talking, like what do you think, if I spend so enough money, she's gonna move here from Romania?
And this is just one example, but I like just of people's thought processes of like, how did you end up here? Yeah. How did
It really makes you wonder about the human brain. Like,
yeah,
how can it fucking break like that? And like you fall so deep into that fucking hole. It's scary.
I always then like reflected on myself and think like, am I gonna be teetering on the edge at some point in my life and like make the wrong decision? And, you know, I don't know. Like, I'm not saying that I have those thoughts of like, I'm going to pay a Romanian cam girl.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. It's just like crazy how the brain can crack that easily. I don't know.
Right. It's very worrisome. But it's like, I think that we, you know, can recognize that behavior as insane. That has to be a good sign, right? Like we, you know,
yeah.
But also right. It's like, you know, is like a lot of hoarders and stuff like that weren't hoarders right. until a single traumatic event snapped something in their head. And now they have to keep every fucking newspaper or their life will fall apart. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's fucking nuts. Or even like drug addiction. You know what I mean? I'm like 36, right? Like I know that there are people that have started and were ruined by drug problems at ages older than I am. You know what I mean? It's like,
what happened in their life that late in life to make them turn to this awful decision?
Right. Like, yeah. It's very, you know, you always have to be aware that there, no matter how old you are, there's still time to throw it all down the toilet and fuck your shit up.
Yes.
All right. And it's like, I hope in certain cases, mental health wise, I hope my brain doesn't turn on me.
Yeah, like that guy, you know, was he so lonely that that's where he turned? And then I look at myself and I'm like, you know, I don't really go out of my way to put myself in social situations. But if one is presented to me, if I get a text like, hey, what are you doing this Saturday? I'll probably say, yeah, I'll come hang out because I'm not doing anything. And yeah, I haven't seen you in a while. Like I'm not averse to social situations, but I don't ever have a time where I'm like, I've been in the house for 3 days straight just working from home. And I'm like, you know, I feel so isolated. I need to see people. And like, I'm like Tinkerbell, you know,
yeah.
I shrivel up and die if I don't get attention.
I need attention at all times. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think about weird stuff like this a lot.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Well, it's good that you think about it and stay on the right path. I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with your parents, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I have good parents.
Yep.
I'm like well socialized. I'm a normal person. I understand social normities. This dude definitely seemed like a fucking weirdo from the jump.
Or even as simple as the person in the break room. Like, what led you to this logical decision to have this phone call here and now?
What went wrong that you think this is okay? Well, folks, we respect women. We would never stalk you or... I mean, and I from what I understand from the story, the cam girl had no idea like anything bad happened. You know what I mean? Like she was just doing her job, bringing in money. And then I think someone told her later about it and she was like, huh, I don't weird.
Yeah. Oof, yeesh, sucks for that guy.
Oh, Tim. I love you. It was great to talk to you. Dune 2. So I couldn't jump on the episode because I was actually a guest on another podcast that hasn't come out yet.
Flex.
Not to brag, but but no, I was listening to your episode and I'm glad everyone liked it because I also liked it and I also gave it 2 thumbs up.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to get into it right now because like we said on the episode – it's essentially like evaluating 2 movies at once.
Yeah.
Because it is like a direct, you know, continuation from part one. Mm-hmm. But man, I was very, very satisfied. Highly recommend.
Great theater experience. Saw it in IMAX. And I will say, had I just been like, if you're an easygoing person and not like annoying and you just like went to Dune 2 in IMAX without seeing Dune 1, I do believe you could enjoy it for what it is, just as a spectacle of just in IMAX, just of amazing filmmaking. Because I also saw Dune 1, and even watching Dune 2, I didn't fully know what was going on. You know, it's Dune itself is very difficult to understand. So if you haven't seen Dune 1 and you want to just go to IMAX and see Dune 2, like I said, if you're cool and easygoing and not annoying, I think you'll have fun, because there's a lot of just fucking... I mean, first of all, the sound in IMAX will rock your shit out of your ass.
So good.
It's so good. Did you see it in IMAX?
I saw it regular.
Right.
But, I mean, I've seen so much IMAX that I know what you mean.
It's just fucking... just is so... wow, it's so good. And then just there's just the visuals in that movie are just out of this world. So Dune 2, I'm glad we all liked it. And what I'm talking about, of course, is Tim's podcast, Pop Addled, right?
Oh yeah, I guess I should plug that, right? Yeah, Pop Addled. We're on all the streaming. I always keep saying that.
We're on the streamers, we're on Netflix, we're on Tubi.
Yeah, but Apple Podcasts, Google Play, which I think Google Play is about to be no more.
Google Play's gone.
Yeah, Spotify, SoundCloud, all those things. But yeah, I'm on Twitter, and Keenan, my co-host, he's on Facebook and Instagram. But yeah, Pop Addled, just search it anywhere.
Oh, and of course, if you're listening to this, you know where to find Doom Thugs Monthly, right here on the network. It's April, so we got another DTM coming up sometime in the next... I don't know how to do math. I was just trying to do the little rhyme. 30 days in the next 31 days. But it's not April 1st, so do the math yourself, you son of a bitch. Anyway, next month we'll talk about sports, because I think we'll be deep into the playoffs and it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean... definitely Sixers.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully Flyers.
Oh, God, please. Just hold on. Hold on, right? Please. God damn it. Anyway, it's great to talk to you, Tim. I hope to God my son's asleep so we can get an episode of Tokyo Vice in. Is it a perfect show? No, but me and my wife like it. Anyway.
Sal, keep sleeping, buddy.
We'll see you later. Bye.
Adios.